through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Kia ora, Tim.
Kia ora. Man, big day.
Big day. Big old day.
I thought the major story was going to be the DHBs getting scrapped.
But that's
you
also
hearing about this?
Yeah, that's also still a major story. Yeah.
It's huge. Huge. Right. Well, for Media Bat today, not super breaking stuff, but some things that I haven't managed to cover in the last couple of weeks that have been unfolding.
That sounds good. They're still important.
The first of which is a new fund the government's introducing called the Public Interest Journalism Fund, which is $55 million over 3 years.
Whoa.
And you know how sometimes you hear like big government funding figures and you're like, this sounds like a big number, but I have no idea if it is.
Yeah.
This one is.
This actually is.
This just in, it is.
It is big. So it was announced by Minister Chris Farfoy in February. The fund's going to be administered by New Zealand On Air, and New Zealand On Air hired Hal Crawford, who's now Australian-based media consultant, but he was the chief news officer at MediaWorks, to design the fund. And in his report, he described the Public Interest Journalism Fund as a game changer, even by international standards. I'll just read a little quote here to give a sense of the scale of investment that the government's putting in. Hal Crawford said, "The Public Interest Journalism Fund will invest more per year than the UK or Canadian public interest journalism schemes in a country a fraction the size. The potential impact is big, and the scheme has an opportunity to set the global standard in terms of public interest journalism rejuvenation.
Far
it
out.
Is not an exaggeration to say for anyone convinced of the value of news, the initiative represents a crucial test." So this is set against a backdrop of a lot of jobs being lost in journalism over the last few years.
Yep.
Over 600 journalism jobs disappeared in 2020 mm-hmm. Alone, and the number of journalists in New Zealand. So from 2006 to 2018, in that 12-year period, we lost half of our journalism jobs.
Far out.
That's crazy. I knew it was a lot, but I don't think I've ever heard it quantified quite like that. That is a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Why is that? Is that just because of new tech? Or
2006 being the starting point, obviously that's just before the global financial crisis of 08, which in a lot of ways we never really kind of recovered, quote unquote, from the world really changed. So it's been this onward march of Google and Facebook extracting ad revenue that normally would go to television, print and radio news operations. And with them sucking all of the funding out, it just means that these news operations have been struggling to find out how to fund themselves.
Mm.
There was a decision made basically in the 90s by the first news corporations to get online, to go, how are we going to approach this? Do we do paywall or is it free to access? And they went, you know what, it's free to access, it's not threatening our core business, it's just the internet, who cares?
But it's fine.
Exactly.
So this will blow over, guys.
Exactly.
Don't worry about it, it's just a flash in the pan.
So it sort of set this precedent which now has, you know, threatened their very existence financially.
Oosh.
And so these sorts of funds may be the future and may be necessary all around the world, which is, you know, quite a scary thing, because it is contingent obviously on a government that believes in the value of public interest journalism.
Oh, gosh.
So there's been some interesting conversations around this fund. It's actually been met from the sort of media commentary that I've read, at least, with very little critique. Like, people just like, yeah, the news media in New Zealand's effed. It definitely needs a big cash injection. But obviously there's conversations happening around, once you inject a lot of money into an industry, it's like they become dependent on it. Also, the government's intent explicitly with this is to create new journalism. And there's a concern that it might just get washed into budgets for day-to-day operations for newsrooms that are struggling right now.
So they're trying
to figure out how to make sure that doesn't happen.
But then at the same time, you also have the newsrooms that are still struggling right now, and maybe they need some sort of other fund to support that. Or
yes.
I don't know, some other another kind of pool of money at least.
Just to stay afloat.
Just
absolutely.
Because yeah.
It's kind of like, what's the point in creating new things when you've got existing machinery that really needs funding
to
make it work properly, or it will go away.
Totally.
And another interesting area of discussion around this public interest journalism fund is around paywalled content. So basically there's a tension between some news organisations who are trying to self-fund and basically train their readership into paying for content because it costs money to produce it. But the government's cabinet paper said that this scheme must make the work freely available that's created out of the fund. So it sounds like Hal Crawford, at least, who sort of headed the design of this fund, has been sympathetic to that. And there's something about, like, the content must be freely available somewhere,
okay.
But you can put it behind a paywall with your other content.
So you can make it complicated.
Exactly. That'll be an interesting one to see.
Yes.
But the long and short of it is there's an absolute truckload of money coming from the government over the next 3 years into funding public interest journalism, which...
Far out.
IMO, a good thing.
Yeah, it does sound like a good thing. And honestly, need it. We need more of that. Yeah.
NZME, who own a whole bunch of radio stations, including Newstalk ZB, have been fined for being in breach of stock exchange rules and a bidding war with Stuff last year. They got censured and penalised $100,000 for breaching stock exchange rules about disclosure of sensitive information.
Crikey.
Yeah.
That's not great.
No. This was actually a news story that I talked about at the time on MediaBat. The company gave the impression that its bid to acquire Stuff Media from Nine Entertainment was well underway.
And I remember you talking about this, yeah.
It was, I would call that, a misrepresentation. And it affected their stock price because they came out and said it. And it affected it quite vastly. It went up 13.9% on one day's trading.
Wow.
As a result of the disclosure. So, yeah, they got fined $100,000. They haven't, they've accepted the findings of the, what is it, like the Fair Market something. I can't remember the name of the organisation that looks after those sorts of things, but they're not disputing anything. And the last item I just wanted to mention is sort of adding a voice to the media critics out there who have opined that the Samoan election is getting very little coverage in this country, and it really should be getting coverage in this country, especially compared to this wall-to-wall Prince Philip coverage that we had for a little while.
Oh my God, I know, yeah.
The Samoan election happened on the 9th of April, and basically there is a party that has been ruling there since 1982.
Mm-hmm.
There is a prime minister who has been sitting in that seat for 23 years, and it was, you know, by most sort of quote-unquote sensible people, a foregone conclusion that they would win again. But in actual fact, the ruling party, the Human Rights and Protection Party, have tied with a new party called FAST, which is an acronym for a Samoan name. And so they've both got 25 seats apiece. It's a 51-seat government, and there is one independent who will determine the government, and it is still to be determined which way it's going to swing.
Holy
heck. And so that was the 9th of April.
Yeah, so this has kind of been unfolding since then. So I think there's been vote counting and that sort of thing that's been going on. But it's a very dramatic turn in a country that is, you know, within our
so close
immediate realm.
Yeah,
it just hasn't gotten a lot of attention in the media. And I think, you know, as much as anything else, this just lends so much credence to what I was talking about last week with AUT's Pacific Media Centre being really embattled and sort of seemingly underfunded, but at least slightly mismanaged at the moment, and just the importance of these very vulnerable institutions that are reporting on Pacific media issues, because we do not do it well.
No, we need more of that.
Yeah.
Tim, that was a very interesting media bat this morning. Thank you.
Thanks, mate.
I feel like that was comprehensive about a lot of big things going on in the world and in the media.
Look, I heard that you might have be a little dusty from the tape, so I just grab the wheel for a moment.
Take the wheel. Yeah. Thank you very much. We will see you next week, Tim. Hey, when's your comedy show?
Oh, my comedy festival show is actually kicking off very soon. You can catch Classy Warfare, and I've even bought some ads on BFM.
Ooh la la.
Nice.
I thought the date was going to come up. I really need to memorise it, but it's like May the 11th. That is soon. May the 11th, it kicks off.
Better practice your jokes then.
At Basement. Well, I'm going to Wally first to run it in, so
excellent.
It'll be all good.
Test run down there.
You can get tickies at timbat.co.nz.
Excellent. Well, we'll see you next week, Tim. Thank you very much.
See you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM.
This is